My foster parents didn't just teach me to fish. They taught me that persistence and patience pay off. They didn't just teach me to bake the perfect birthday cake. They also taught me to measure and meet my own potential. They didn't just teach me to garden. They taught me to plant seeds and watch them grow. And they didn't just teach me to walk. They taught me to stand on my own 2 feet. Foster a child and change their future. Visit youthvillages.org/foster.
Caesars Sportsbook is the only sportsbook app with Caesars Rewards. That means, win or lose, every bet you place brings you closer to the type of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app using promo code RADIODYW. Place your first bet of $1 or more for a chance to double your winnings on your next 10 bets. Open to new users in Tennessee who are 21 or older. Max bet of $25 for doubled winnings. Max, additional winnings of $2,500 per bet. Profit boost tokens expire 14 days after receipt. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is Tom. I've got Lotus here with me, and we're changing things up this week because we're doing things a little bit different than we normally do. Normally, when Lotus and I get ready for an episode, I kind of take the driver's seat a little bit. I come up with kind of the show notes, and I work on things. And of course, Lotus does his own research, but then he comments in as kind of like co-pilot. But we're switching it up because Lotus wanted to talk about Dramothra, because they're so freaking weird and cool. And he was like, you know what? I'm going to take lead on this one. I'm going to talk about this. So I am super excited to talk about Dramothra. And Dramothra are either, at least as far as I can tell, they're either some sort of weird dark Khajiit thing, or they're maybe Godzilla's best friend.
Right, or both. Why not both?
Why not both?
They could be both. Both?
oh, wait, yeah, no, that's just Mothra. That's that's the big moth guy.
Well, all right. I mean, I guess... Both. I'm going to just say both.
We'll do both. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough. We had mentioned the last couple of episodes, since we've been discussing necromancy as well as the astrology in the series, we wanted to bring up Dramothra. I was kind of surprised that we didn't have a full episode on Dramothra. We've definitely mentioned them before.
Yeah, we keep doing that. We keep doing this where we're like, this thing comes up. Did we ever just do an episode on them and actually dig into all the details? And it's like, huh, somehow we didn't. Over hundreds of episodes, we still haven't covered this.
Right. Crazy. And this kind of ties into both. So I figured, I personally find this, I prefer the lower fantasy style of the Elder Scrolls, but at the same time, this is probably my favorite high-end fantasy, like that's really kind of weird, alongside like Daedric Prince stuff, which will tie into this as well. And I find these fascinating. So I wanted to kind of close up our little mini chapter here with Dramothra. So just to kind of give a definition to what we're working with. Dramothra, or Dromothra, it's got apostrophes and a dash in it. It's really, there's different, depending upon how you see it written, certain parts of it are or are not capitalized. It's a very peculiar word. But Dramothra is generally the way you're going to want to say it. It's basically a meaning of dark spirits of elsewhere, and they are essentially reflections of Khajiit. This is a very Khajiit specific thing that we're going to be dealing with.
Spooky kitties,
exactly.
Spooky cats.
That's pretty accurate. okay. The Khajiit are, you know, individuals, they're the feline race, and when they do what they do, that's generally nefarious, oftentimes they can
like knocking things off of shelves,
Right. Yeah, spilling milk
right.
constantly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not coming when you call them.
They will
they hate leashes.
Become corrupted.
Sorry, I'll let you go.
They'll become corrupted over like their lifespan. And when they die, their souls get hijacked essentially by Nymira. So
everybody's favorite Daedric prince, who has nothing to do with the void or Sithis or just the total darkness of the universe or Lorcan's heart, maybe. Like, yeah, our favorite dark, spooky Daedric prince. I mean, there are some terrible, dark, like evil, like princes, but Nymira is like the darkness
queen
itself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it's funny because to your kind of joke earlier. Yeah. They're really just like little demon kitties. Like that's what this is.
Right.
And to go along with that, their fur is like pitch black. They look like shadows, but they have darts of lightning that go across them as well. And the most striking thing is you'll notice that their eyes are going to be like this creepy glowing blue, which is, I think, a really cool aesthetic, personally.
Yeah, no, it looks great.
And it makes them very distinct. Their armor carries the same type of like scars, like the lightning scars as well. So if you get it in game and you get a Dramothra style, it will have this like glowing blue tint matched with a very, very black background.
Yeah, I've regularly in ESO used the style and like the look of Dramothra because it just looks really cool. Not because I wanted to like play into the fiction of it, which would be cool, but I just was like, this one looks great. I'm going to wear this for a while.
Yeah, and it's really striking compared to a lot of the other ones because it's like glowing, and it seems like somebody always has that on. Like you don't usually go too far in ESO without seeing somebody wearing this if they have access to it.
Yeah. That's a good one.
But yeah, it's a very striking color palette, but they essentially just lose all color. They're essentially shadows of their former self. They come from the dark behind the world, and the thing about them is this aspect where they dance and are governed by the beating heart of Lorcan and the sound it makes.
It sounds like quite the part.
Makes a music that corrupts them.
I think I would like to go to that disco.
Yeah, that would be a sweet rave.
Yeah, I guess everybody's it's more of a rave, but disco sounded funnier in my head. But can you imagine a bunch of spooky cats all doing like, you know, disco dancing to like goo, 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 goo. And then Namira's like up on the stage singing like in some
she's
sort of
the
like
DJ.
Yeah, she's the DJ like in her like weird spooky suit. Like it's like a spooky disco. I mean, a rave totally makes more sense.
Halloween raves.
Yeah, it sounds.
Halloween discos specifically, if we're going back to the 70s.
Yeah, disco is funnier to me. It makes more sense as a rave, but yeah. So wait, so they do like a dance to the beating heart of Lorcan. So there's all sorts of weirdness around the heart of Lorcan. Was it the actual heart was thrown into the ocean and
exactly.
the power and was utilized, but there's also the dark heart, which we talked about previously, and how the void is connected to the dark heart, and maybe the dark heart is still there. So it's like a different, maybe it's not the physical heart, but it's like a spiritual heart. Like what's going on with all that, right?
And then, you know, tying back into that again, there's the situation we talked about, shades coming into existence, like these like corrupted entities that come about from the dark heart. Well, essentially Dramothra are shades, but Khajiit specific.
So like
you're not going to be a Dramothra without being a Khajiit.
Right. So like cooler. Like they're like, cool. Everyone else gets to be a shade. We get to be a Dramothra.
We're a step up in the cool factor.
Right. They get to go in the
our
back
Spartan
room.
The Lunar Lattice granted us this.
Nice.
But yeah, so that's basically what the background is to these creatures coming into existence. The other couple situations that relate to this is Khajiit born under a dark eclipse may be eligible to become spiritual leaders known as the Manes. We've talked about that before. However, if they are not actually chosen as the Mane, they consequently can be more susceptible to the call of this bent dance, which as a side effect, it's kind of like an all or nothing situation where, cool, you can either be the main or you have a way higher chance of being corrupted and becoming a Dramothra.
So is it like being born? So the birth of different Khajiit during different lunar cycles determines what kind of Khajiit they are, like the different first stocks, right? So it's almost like the potential to be born at this time gives you vast amounts of potential power that you could then utilize as the main, because you're the most important of all the Khajiits once you become the main. But if it doesn't turn out that way, that power can get corrupted into something evil. Is it sort of like that?
Right. That's kind of how it seems like it goes. Now, kind of to your point, Dramothra are very strong, so it's still utilizing kind of this potential, but not in a great way. It's a situation where those blessed by, you know, that lunar phase, that's, you know, the potential is much higher, but not necessarily good potential. It's just potential that's getting put somewhere.
Right. Power in general, this is a philosophical concept I remember like learning about in college, but this idea that like power is not good or bad. It is potential. And how you use that power determines the moral aspect of the power. So anything that is powerful can be used for both. So that seems to be where this kind of lies, right?
Yeah, that's how I took it as well. Yeah. So going into it, there's a whole bunch of translations from Dramothra, but it's really like the ways that it can be separated into like terms, because everything has like a million variants as we go over names of Daedric princes and all this stuff. Generally, it's referring to dark spirits, ghost cats, lost cats, children of the dark moon, children of Lorcaj, children of Nymira, Nymira's dark litter, which is exceptionally funny.
That makes Nymira sound like a cat. I mean, all the deities.
It's making Nymira Khajiit.
The Khajiit see all the deities as being cats because they're cats. Right. But it just makes it even more funny because it's like imagining this very scary, spooky cat in space somewhere, that kind of thing, who then has a litter, you know?
Who just has like a really dark litter box.
Right. Like goth cat mommy in the stars.
Yes, totally. They can also be bent spirits, moon haters, which I find very funny.
Because they're like the antithesis of the regular moon cycles. Right.
The opposite. So that's just it. The darkness is something they prey on. So it's like that's what gives them their strength. That's what, you know, connects them to the dark heart, all these things. So it's like that theoretically having the light of the moon, which we'll get into kind of in the way that you can purge. Dramothra to an extent, it gets a little weird. They don't like the moon. Moonlight is basically their enemy. They hide in the darkness. That is their goal. And the other thing is mentioned, like Mothra is kind of just shorthand for it. I just think the term Dramothra is very cool sounding. So I would not shorthand it. But yeah, those are just some of the abbreviations and variants of what it stands for.
Right. Yeah. Once you shorten it to Mothra, we're definitely in a Godzilla territory.
Exactly. Well, on that note though, there's also Sarmathra, which is basically the Senshe version of these.
They come in different sizes.
They sure do. Basically, you get the full first stock versions of these things, but you can have their weird corrupted shade versions.
So it's like going to the like fast food place and they're like, would you like to upsize your Dramothra for just an extra dollar? And you're like,
oh, okay, that's not where I thought you were gonna go with like here's a Whopper, or if you go to Japan, here's the squid ink Whopper.
Right, here's the much more less ridiculous version. Yeah.
But yeah, so as a side effect, the words are rough, are going to be with this many dashes and apostrophes going on. Sarmathra, basically they're like evil battle cats, whereas the other ones are normal battle cats. Not the like kids show, but
yeah,
like,
yeah. So the normal ones, I'm assuming, are the first stocks that are closer to the other races. They walk on two legs,
Senshe rot, stuff like that.
Right, they're roughly the same height as the other races. All of that, two legged, two armed, with hands. Right, whereas then, the Senshe are like they're like the big guys on all fours.
Yeah, you get a Senshe rot, and that they're riding them into battle, and then it's like, well, theoretically, this has it's one of these things that like the way I always look at it is like a coin, and light is only going to hit one side of it. So you've got one side that's the Dramathra, one side that's the normal Khajiit. It's the same coin. So no matter what first stock you've got, there's the potential for a corrupted version on the other side that's not seeing the light of the situation. So
got it.
Yeah. There is one in ESO, actually more than one, so you can actually see them. They had never really been shown beforehand. They are exceptionally over the top because they really are huge. One of them ties into a boss fight, but very cool, very intimidating, similar glow. They've got the black. Again, the whole aesthetic going forward is they're pitch black. They look like shadows, only broken up by this like blue lightning.
Yeah, very cool. I mean, like you said earlier, the aesthetic is very cool. This is one of the things that people get on ESO about, because they're like, oh, the mounts keep getting more ridiculous and the skins keep getting more ridiculous and blah, because it's an MMO and they're trying to like,
right.
And they sell a lot of this stuff extra. And yeah, there is some of that. Sure. I'm not going to deny that there's some of that.
Oh, for sure. I've definitely found plenty that I'm like, okay, there's a little high fantasy for me here. Like, all right, right, yeah, these are a little over the top.
Right, these mushroom camels are a little bit weird. But yeah, this aesthetic, though, of like black with just like lightning, blue lightning through it, is, it's extravagant. It definitely stands out, but it doesn't feel divorced from the other games in the series. Right. Like if you saw something like this in Morrowind, I wouldn't like, yeah, the graphics would be lower quality, but I wouldn't be surprised to come across something like this in, especially as like the boss of a creepy dungeon at the end of a Daedric quest or something. I'd be like, oh, this is cool. You know, like it would still
fit. Without a doubt. It's a high fantasy level that I feel coincides more with the idea of Daedric princes or the Aedra, where it's like, yeah, these are mystical beings, and you know, this is a fantasy world, so there really are no rules, but it still seems kind of in line more with that rather than being flashy for the sake of flashy, if that makes sense. There's that distinguishing cut point, I find, that they still fall on that side of it where it's like, well, yeah, no, it's definitely weird and supernatural, but it fits with the world without being like out of character,
right,
so to speak.
Right. Yeah, I feel like the aesthetic, I know this is a completely different thing, but you look at like the dragon priests in Skyrim.
Yeah.
There's a very stylized aesthetic to the priest masks and the robes and their look. And then you get to Mirak and it's even more ridiculous with like the tentacle things.
Right, because he's got the Hermaeus Mora corruption going through it. Yep.
Right. And like that, I feel like this is on that sort of level. Like these are beings that still have the cat qualities because they're Khajiit, but now they've been corrupted by Nymira. And so they have that extra kind of other thing that's tacked on that makes them stand out from just any of the regular mortals who are walking around, right? It's the thing that makes them feel other without it being too far.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And it's weird because I never really specifically outside this attribute like lightning specifically to Nymira, but in terms of Khajiit, it seems almost like her mark. Like, oh yeah, there's this like lightning mark that she leaves behind on these things. Mm. Which again, okay, cool. That's just part of her mystique in this culture specifically. In relation to the dragon priest that you had mentioned, you know, they came from all walks of being like, oh well, we're even more powerful versions of like, you know, people tending dragons and following. It's like, okay, well, rank and file, they were higher up in the rank. Specifically, I bring this up because there's one more Mothra type that's, you know, worth mentioning.
You get three levels of Mothra. right. There's Tall, there's Vente, there's, I don't even know what the different Starbucks ones are because I don't really.
I just know Vente is like 20.
Right.
It's like, not even do right.
Like, it doesn't even make sense.
Because Venti, like, but.
Right.
So, yeah, like, jokes aside, Joe Mothra, for what it's worth, they're
Wait,
basically.
Joe Mothra?
No, not Joe Mamathra.
Okay, not Joe Mamathra.
They're essentially corrupted wizards or mages, and they kind of get their own title because, you know, high-ranking strong magical wielding, you know, mages, and then okay, now I'm corrupted. That's the worst of both worlds.
Oops, guess I'm corrupted now.
Oops, guess I'm corrupted, and I'm a more extreme version of something that was already a problem.
Yeah, lightning skin's cool though. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, exactly. There's no big deal.
No biggie.
So yeah, those are the different like types. This is, like I mentioned, just a Khajiit thing, really, and it sort of makes them pretty superstitious. It's got a lot of ties into Daedra, which, you know, it's just essentially meaning not Aedra, not of our ancestors. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, like, they're essentially like mutated versions of normal Khajiit with this corruption, which is just very unsettling to the general populace.
Well, that's to the other Khajiit too, right?
Like, well, yes, and there's always this fear,
right,
amongst Khajiit that it's like, well, you know, if you don't have the willpower to resist hearing the drums or resist hearing the heart of Lorkhan, this could overtake you. And it's like, if you basically lose focus and the moons are in the proper alignment, you might not even realize that you're lost to this dance type of thing, which is just like a perpetual state of like, cool, I could just be corrupted if I'm not constantly vigilant.
Yeah. You know what it sounds like? It sounds very similar to some stories' versions of werewolves, where the werewolves don't necessarily have to turn on a full moon, but they are compelled to, and if they don't have the will to fight it, then they give in, and then they fall into that corruption. Kind of feels kind of like that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And like, in regards to this, when they can hear this song, essentially,
can I play the song?
It starts.
Can I play the song?
It causes all sorts of weird symptoms. They start, you know, they get headaches. Well, actually, Tom, maybe.
Crap.
You're not becoming a Dramothra, are you?
I'm not a cat, I don't think.
Oh, never mind. You're good. You just have a really frustrating thing you deal with. Never mind.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Wait a minute. I think I might be grooming myself.
Yep.
Like a cat.
To groom rising.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
All right, so Tom's lost.
Oh, no.
But they, you know, head pains, they start hearing voices, they start hearing the call of this, they can't get the drums out of their head, and it basically just starts overwhelming them. If you find Khajiit's transforming into Dramothra, it looks like they're essentially spazzing out in game. Again,
which is another thing that cats just kind of do sometimes.
Spazz out.
Right. Yeah. You know, like, I don't own a cat. My daughter owns a cat. She's had a few cats. Other people around in my life have owned cats, you know, but like, there's the thing where you're around them and all of a sudden they're like, they twitch and they're like, oh, there's something there, but there's like nothing there. You know what I'm talking about?
So, yeah, as they freak out, it basically becomes a battle of willpower. Do they have the willpower to fight off this essentially invasion to their spirit, or, you know, do they get lost to it? I almost feel like this is, we had talked about this. I think this might be a good point of one of the things that I feel is really unique to the Elder Scrolls, and it's one of the only things we've talked so many times about how music is so influential to the series. This is one of the few times where music in game is actually part of the lore itself, which find very unique.
Right. So we're going to play a song. Before the show, Lotus was like, hey, I've got the show notes, here's everything. But there's also this song, and the song is very important. Explain to the audience why this song is both interesting, like hard to get a hold of, but also really interesting from a gameplay perspective.
Right. So a little weird tangent. This song that we're going to play for you, or at least part of it.
We'll just play a little bit of it. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll play it for a little bit. Is called The Bent Dance. It's actually not at the moment on any of the released Elder Scrolls Online soundtracks. I don't have a good reason why.
Yeah, it's, I don't think it's like a copyright thing. It seems to be like all of this stuff they make for themselves, they all own the copyright. And that's part of why we can't play the whole song, but we can just play a few seconds
of it. Right, right. We don't want to infringe on anything. You can, you know, you can look it up on YouTube. The audio files exist for you to download on the forums and stuff like that, but it's just not on one of the released albums. And, you know, I wish I had an explanation, but I don't. Iconically, in the, I guess, the weird mix of real life related to this, the first expansion trial really was the Maw of Lorkhaj, which is basically a battle against Lorkhaj and his corrupted form and all of the Dromothra in the Maw of Lorkhaj. It's a place in Reaper's March.
I've got it on in the background if you can't hear Lois.
Yeah,
they'll be able to hear it. Yeah.
This song came from that trial, and the amount of times that people get blasted into dust, because for the longest time this was like the granddaddy difficulty, it just would play in the background. And it's the same bent dance that it's very heavy on drums, and it just ties into the corrupting sound that the Khajiit are trying to avoid. And I love it. I think it's such a cool tie-in.
Yeah, yeah. And just like anything you deal with in the games or whatever, the more you hear a thing in a certain context, the more it conditions your mind, and you start to really notice it. Like, one of the songs that really hits me every time I hear it is from Oblivion. And it's like the really spooky, echoey, like dun, 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 like that one. I don't remember the name of it.
Remember which track that is. I know exactly which one you're talking about.
But every note, just the echoes, like just go on. I love things that are just saturated in like reverb and echo. And there's just something about that song that like every time it comes on, it just stands out. And I'm sure it has something to do with my experience having played the game and it making such a mark on me the first time I played Oblivion. But yeah, it's that sort of thing, right? Like it gets conditioned. You hear this in the background, you hear this in the background. So when you hear it outside of the context, you still get that same emotional response.
Absolutely.
Which is sort of what happens to the Khajiit themselves.
Right. And that's why I love that, like, for this specific scenario, the music itself is what ties into what's happening in game. And it's just such a cool way that it connects these two things that the series sort of is known for. Because, I mean, Skyrim soundtrack specifically won so many things, and it's played by orchestras. Like, the music to the series is iconic, even past people who play the games. So it's cool that the music itself is also ingrained into sort of the lore at this point in certain ways.
Yeah.
Main goal, just before we move on to like how you kind of battle back against Dromothra, the goal of Dromothra is basically to spread darkness, because the more darkness that's out there, the more that they have free reign to do as they wish. They don't want moonlight. That's no good. So the less light available, the more free reign they have. They can spread their corruption, which again makes them stronger because there's more of them. They're also able to not so much, well, it's less focused on other Khajiit, but they can reanimate dead. You'll get weird shade versions of fallen soldiers and stuff like that, which again, unsettling, and kind of necromancy-ish. Beginning the tie-in to necromancy. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So they do have some type of necromantic qualities. It's more so reanimating just like the husk that's there. It doesn't really, I have never seen any, you know, somebody can correct me if they know something a little more, but it doesn't really need to involve soul gems the same way or anything like that. It's more of just a corrupting presence bringing this animated husk back to life for its own uses, or making a shade version where it's just like, again, just think of like, okay, you've got said person and their shadow. Well, okay, they have control of the darkness. We're going to use your shadow as our minion type of deal. Pretty unsettling.
Yeah, yeah, and a direct necromancy connection in a way. I mean, they're not exactly necromancers in the way that like a mage would become a necromancer, but that like kind of inherent ability.
Yes, exactly. It's a very similar necromantic ability, and it's sort of just a side effect of them being, you know, having this power to control darkness.
Yeah. Cool stuff. I mean, it's definitely weird. Now, they're not easy to get rid of, it seems.
It is not. And there's a couple different methods. And this is where we got a lot of, so a lot of this is pretty new to the series. It's newly introduced lore. If you play Elder Scrolls Online, it was introduced with the companion Xerath Var, who is a Khajiit necromancer. Personally, my favorite new companion. I definitely recommend playing through the storyline if you do play Elder Scrolls Online. But what this adds to the lore, the story, all of this, is there's a couple ways to fight back against Dromothra. So there's the Way of Joan and the Way of Jode, because moons, and that's moons. How all of this works.
Yeah, it's all connected to moons. That makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. So you can essentially just beat the crap out of Dromothra like anything else if you're strong enough. It's easier said than done, but it's one of these situations where violence is hard to not be at least some degree of an answer. But it's not necessarily a permanent answer. It has its own sort of issues where you don't necessarily completely destroy the Dromothra, much like with Daedra. Is it dead or is it coming back? You can vanquish it without necessarily killing it. Not the best strategy overall, it seems like. However, the Way of Jode, the idea is you're trying to banish the Dromothra. So it's essentially an exorcism. And this is where it sort of ties into necromancy again. Mm-hmm. In order to save the corrupted soul of the Khajiit, you basically are trying to cause, you're trying to purge the dark spirit using pure moonlight to drive out the darkness on them.
So it's like they've been possessed.
Yes, this is in a situation of like them being possessed. Exactly, that's a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
And the moonlight priests and twilight cantors, or what they're referred to, is they're performing this. It's kind of weird because they refer to it in the UESP as banishment, but it's weird because you're banishing the evil corruption to save the soul in this scenario.
Right, right. Because the soul is the thing that Nymeera is after. And
yes,
if she can take
that
soul, she
corrupts
it.
Via one of these means.
Right. And then if that Dromothra dies, then that soul actually just gets lost to the void or something, right? Like it's
yes.
It's like it's gone.
And there is another group that this is a switch situation was there was attempts by other groups where they were essentially just trying to purge out the evil regardless of saving the soul, and it, to your point, was just like, well, I'm sure this will all be fine. We just need to make sure that we're safe. And it just obliterates the husk, including the soul, which is a whole different problem because then it's like, well, that Khajiit soul is now lost.
It's just gone. It's just gone. And this is something that we've debated. We have the whole soul episode. We've debated the, like, what happens to souls? Why are these Daedric princes so interested in souls? Why do so many souls not actually make it back to Aetherius? Like, this is one of those scenarios.
And in a lot of these cases, the exorcism is referred to as like the straightening of the tail. It's like the joke here is a lot of like twitching tails and you know, bent imagery is the corruption, and straight and like, okay, upright, that's you having a direct connection to moonlight. Like moonlight's just a straight line in type of thing. Okay, that's what you want. So the idea is to basically snap them straight again because they're snap too bent straight. Over doing all their dancing. We don't want that. So
there's this, the Way of Joan and the Way of Jode, and they're two different ways to do this. And one of them seems so way more violent, like actually physically snap them straight, like way more violent than the other.
And this snapping them straight is essentially this exorcism, which I find kind of funny because when it's performed in game, essentially as the Twilight Cantors perform these rituals, as they exercise them, it essentially does. They just like purge them upright and they like freak out and it like separates them. So this is technically the less violent way because you're not bludgeoning the the Dramathra.
It's like snapping their spirit, not their body.
Correct. You're not necessarily putting them on a rack just to kind of stretch them straight.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah.
And by performing these rituals, the idea is to save their soul. The likelihood of success on this is pretty dependent on how far gone they are. The deeper they've fallen into the corruption, the bent dance, the harder it is to pull them out of it. Think of it like quicksand. The deeper you are, the harder it is to get you back out.
Right. The deeper I am into my bowl of ice cream, the more likely I am to finish my bowl of ice cream.
You're going to finish it. Right. Like, you're going to finish it, and then you're going to regret it because you're like, too much ice cream.
Crap, why did I eat all this ice cream? Now
Why? Ugh. Why did I have 9 scoops?
Now I'm 20 pounds heavier in one day.
In one sitting. So that's the idea beside trying to like save them. sorry about that. So the other situation that you can have come up was the Order of the Hidden Moon, which is what this is the group that the Khajiit Necromancer Zarathar falls into. I am not planning on just going through and spoiling a story. If this is something that interests you, play it in ESO. But essentially the idea of the Order of the Hidden Moon is salvation via straight up necromancy. They possess the bones of the dead Khajiit, allowing them to fight for their true spirited kin. If they can face the truth of their sins and be illuminated by victory in battle, they get to remember their former self and the souls can be freed from Namira's grip. However, if they resist the purification through these means, they can't be saved. They're totally effed. Like, it's game over. Like, that, it's didn't work. Now, like, it's pretty much you're done for. Like, you are not going to be saved via this method at this point. Like, it's you get, I wouldn't say it's like a one shot thing, but like, it's essentially a one shot thing.
Yeah. So we kind of talked around this idea on the necromancy episodes that not all necromancy is evil, trying to make yourself a lich, take over other people's bodies and use it for nefarious means kinds of necromancy. Simply put, necromancy is control over the dead. So using this type of necromancy to have some sort of control over these poor Khajiit who have been turned into Dramathra is one way to actually bring them back and you know, find them some form of salvation amidst all the terribleness that's going on. But if that's the case, like, they have to, it is actually necromancy which allows them to do this because it's control of the dead. So so it's not always evil, but it's always dark.
And this is the weird thing that we had talked about in the necromancy episode itself, how there is a weird gray area where this is one of the scenarios where necromancy is technically being used for good, but it's kind of a fringe case for this. And the end goal is to hopefully save the corrupted Khajiit soul as opposed to attempting to destroy it. But for the most part, like I had mentioned, very similar to with Daedra, Dramathra don't really die. They can be banished. You can smash them up and destroy them. They kind of go off, reform, come back. You can set up stuff to kind of keep them away, like, you know, deter them. But really, the only way to stop Dramathra is to purge their soul of this darkness and save them. Barring those weird scenarios with that other group in ESO, it's part of the storyline where they're essentially blowing up their souls, which is a essentially botched version of the Twilight Cantor saving them. It's a little more extreme and does not actually help, but not really how it works overall.
So if somebody is saved from this, do they, can they continue like living, or is their soul just like okay now?
They've basically died at this point. Like, the idea is less to save them and it's like, okay, well, I get to go back to my, you know, kitty family and we get to all hang out and play with balls of yarn.
Yay! It's more
so I get to properly go to the sands behind the stars
and
find eternal rest, as opposed to, yeah, cool, I get to go back. It's like, by the time you're corrupted and essentially
you're already done
at the point that you're a Dramothra.
Right. It's kind of like
died in the transition, or you died on the way, and then or died and then were corrupted on the way and became this being.
Right. It's kind of like a spirit, like a ghost spirit of somebody being stuck in the mortal plane somewhere. And so therefore you do some sort of ritual and that allows them to move on. But now they've got this like terrible evil, like corruption that's associated with that, which makes it even worse.
Yeah. So that is really kind of the overview on how Dramothra are formed, how they exist, what they are. And it's honestly one of my favorite parts of the series when it gets into the metaphysical stuff related to characters in game, as opposed to, you know, oh, here's how the stars work and stuff like that. These are tangible, playable characters that you can use in game. And I love that they're a good mix between the unreal nature of Daedra and, like, well, I mean, not that cat people are realistic, but you're playable races in the series. They've got that. This is almost like a bridge between the two, where they go from a more interactable character that you would use, I'll say it that way, to something that is just like, okay, these have become this like immortal creature essentially that's trying to just spread corruption so that it can enhance its own power.
I like that this ties also back to Nymeera and all the weirdness that we kind of talked about a little bit at the beginning of the episode, and some of the, like, the nature of the void, the darkness, the descriptions about Nymeera being, like, somehow associated with the dark heart of Lorcan, and in Khajiit-y mythology that Nymeera is, like, actually comes from Lorcan's heart and somehow helped corrupt him into creating the world and turning his back on everybody else, and all of that weirdness from their perspective, and that this is somehow tied to all of that, and also the idea that she's trying to build some sort of, it's not really an army, but it's some sort of corrupted soul force that is used to push back against other cosmic beings, including the stars, which is like, what?
Pretty extreme.
Yeah, and we just did an episode about the star orphans, so like, all of these things from all of these different cultures are implying things that happened way back at the beginning of time and somehow coalesced into the reason why Tamriel exists at all. You know, the Mundus exists at all. And, you know, these races are here at all and any of this stuff. But it also ties back to the idea of, like, we talked about this way early on the episodes, why life in Tamriel is so dangerous and terrible for everybody.
Yeah, everything's miserable all the time.
Right. And that
even
might
when it's good, it's probably misery's looming around the corner.
Absolutely. And that might have something to do with the fact that entities like Nymeera are foundational in the creation of everything because of her connection to Lorcan, which all of this stuff is related in some sort of weird way where it's all just a little murky, a little foggy, but it's all there, you know? So it's like pieces of a puzzle where you can't quite see how they all fit, but they're all there.
Right. And to your point, one of the things that I just find like hilariously dark, I guess pun intended, but with all the Nymeera and void stuff, but hilariously dark is the fact that it's essentially living with an extreme paranoia that's real. Like, it's not paranoia over nothing. It's paranoia over something that could literally happen if you let your guard down.
Yeah, it's analogous to,
I wasn't being vigilant.
Right.
Oh, crap, now I can hear these. Like, now I can hear it. Like, now it's starting to seep in. And then the more you hear it, the more you get obsessed with it. And the more you get obsessed with it, the closer you get to falling to it. And then when you fall to it, now you're lost. It's like, wow. So this is just a perpetual state of your life is awful because of just the off chance you're in the wrong place when the moon gets covered.
Right. It's analogous to addiction. Is really like that,
really,
that would be
yes.
the main thing. Like, imagine somebody with an addiction, somebody who's an alcoholic, right? And like, as long as you can stay away from alcohol, you're okay. But once you start giving in a little bit, it's harder to not give in more, you know, or the ice cream analogy I used. But it's that,
it's that, a more fun one.
The suffering of like, oh, there's this thing that's constantly nagging at me. and if my will isn't strong enough, I might fall back in. And so you, but in this case, sometimes it's not like you don't even know it's there. Somebody who has an addiction often is aware that they have an addiction. Like, they deal with it all the time.
Whereas this is a situation where it's sort of just there's this looming threat just floating around Khajiit culture.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yep, just be vigilant all the time. Otherwise, you could slip. And then once you slip, okay, well, now you've got to try to get past this. But it's like, okay, but, you know, you just need to the idea of staying vigilant 24/7 your entire life just sounds like such a daunting task.
Yeah. I guess you could also say it's kind of analogous to mages who try to gain more and more power, and that power corrupts them over time.
Sure.
How do you not become a Manny Marco and instead become a Vanis Galarian? You know, that sort of thing.
Right. Like, and this is yet again tying back into our necromancy discussion, where it's like, by practicing necromancy, the reason it's sort of taboo and outlawed is because even with the noblest of intentions, the end goal sort of is about consolidating power as like an end point. So how far do you go to get better as a necromancer before you get to the point where you're no longer doing it for the good of others? And now it's just slipped over to that point of like, okay, well, now
it's just for you.
Very selfish reason, because that's the end goal, theoretically. Like,
yeah. It's tricky stuff. Well, this has been fun, Lotus. I'm glad you took the driver's.
I personally liked quite a bit. So this was one of the scenarios where I just was like, sure, I can grab this one solely because this is one of my favorite parts of the series lore. I just think it's super unique. I have no idea, because so much of the Elder Scrolls and fantasy and everything in general is always based on other things. I'm sure this has a grounding in something, something. I don't know whether it's a real world relation to something that they've kind of fantasized, or if it's just another work of fiction, but I actually have no idea what it would be based off. This is actually, to me at least, wholly unique to the Elder Scrolls. So I don't know. I found it incredibly fascinating. If anybody actually does know that it's based on something else, I would be very interested to hear.
There are a lot of stories the corruption of potential power, or giving in to something and turning you into something worse.
Sure.
There's a lot of that kind of stuff.
And there's definitely a lot of that, but
like the actual corruption of your soul and
the corruption of your soul into this dark moon thing. Like, it's just like,
that feels unique to Elder Scrolls.
That's my thing. It's like the concept of Dromothra as a whole seems very unique to me, unless there's another part of literature or whatever that I just have zero awareness of.
It seems to pull little details from other things, but
without a doubt, I mean,
the totality of it is it's its own thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas some things are a little more obvious, like, oh, okay, you yoinked this from this culture, or you yoinked this from whatever. This one is like, okay, the idea of corruption is pretty whatever, like, but it's just like the way it's portrayed in the form of Dromothra, I've always found fascinating and really, really unique.
Yeah. I also like that the name of one of the groups that can try to practice the way of Jode, the like nicer way to deal with Dromothra, is called the Twilight Canters.
Yes.
And if I'm going to start a barbershop quartet, I think I will call us
the Twilight Canters.
And like, nobody will get the joke, but we'll know.
Everybody listening to this show will know.
We'll know.
It's going to be it's going to be a 50,000 person inside joke.
That's it. That's as many.
It's just only listeners know what the joke is. No one else.
There you go. All right. Well, this is great. Thanks, Lotus. Let's take a quick break, and we will be back because we have a question that one of you sent in to our call line, we'll call it. I'll go over the details how to do that after the break. And then also, we've got our random page. Do you want to do the random page this time, Lotus?
Sure, I can random page it.
You do the random page. We'll be right back.
My foster parents didn't just teach me to fish. They taught me that persistence and patience pay off. They didn't just teach me to bake the perfect birthday cake. They also taught me to measure and meet my own potential. They didn't just teach me to garden. They taught me to plant seeds and watch them grow. And they didn't just teach me to walk. They taught me to stand on my own two feet. Foster a child and change their future. Visit youthvillages.org/foster.
Caesars Sportsbook is the only sportsbook app with Caesars rewards. That means, win or lose, every bet you place brings you closer to the type of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app using promo code RADIODYW, place your first bet of $1 or more for a chance to double your winnings on your next 10 bets. Open to new users in Tennessee who are 21 or older. Max bet of $25 for doubled winnings. Max, additional winnings of $2,500 per bet. Profit boost tokens expire 14 days after receipt. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, we're back. We've got our patrons to thank before we get to the voice message and the random page. We have a brand new patron, Tom W. Thank you so much for signing up. Welcome to a fellow Tom. So glad that you were here. Also, we have to shout out our Daedric Princes, Blinding Vision, Hersine, Kiracy, and Peter R. Thank you so much. And to all 145 of you who support the show financially, we really do appreciate it. And to everyone who signed up on the Patreon for free so they get notifications and all of that stuff. Thanks for being here. Also, you've got 1 week left to get on the Patreon, answer the question about a crazy, fun idea for doing some sort of Skyrim challenge. And Lotus and I will be picking up this week. We will reveal the winner on next week's show. And this is something that has been up for a few weeks, but we only have so many people entering, which means that there's a very, very high chance that you can get a CD key for the newest ESO expansion, which also includes the base game if you don't have it. And if you already have all of that, you're welcome to take the key and give it to somebody else. So it could be a present to a friend, say, hey, come play with me or whatever. So go to patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast and just scroll down a few episodes. You'll see the text post where I have the thing. Comment in the description. And if you haven't signed up yet, just sign up for free. It doesn't cost you anything and you could win. So come up with some free ideas, some fun ideas. But before we get to anything else, we have to do our voice message. This has come in from M-Cole. I think it's Michael, but M-Cole. Here, let me cue this up. Let me know if you can't hear it, Lotus, but I think everybody should be able to hear it. Here we go.
Hi, my name is Michael. I've been listening to this show for maybe 2 or 3 years, and I've been a big fan. It's been a lot of fuel for me as a DM, since my Dungeons & Dragons campaign is set in the Elder Scrolls universe, because I love it. I love the lore. I don't think you've done anything on this before. I know there was the patron chat on eating weird creatures, which I loved. But I was interested in the different cuisines of Tamriel. Like, I know the Khajiit like to cook with moon sugar. The Dunmer eat some pretty weird things up in Morrowind. And the Bosmer just like to eat each other. Whatever you know about that, that'd be awesome to hear about. Big fan of the show. I listen to it all the time when I'm driving. Thanks.
Thanks, Michael. That's awesome. That's a great question. And yeah, we've touched on the food before. We did a patron episode where we've touched on the food. It might be fun to just do a full episode, Lotus, on just like all the weird foods across everything from sweet rolls to, I don't know, some sort of weird meat that they eat in some other location.
Yeah, especially because we covered a lot of like the booze types and stuff, but we didn't really, other than that really dark episode on the Patreon where everybody was cooking guar.
Yes.
We haven't really dove too deep into the cuisine types, and kind of to Michael's point, they've released the cookbooks, even like the Skyrim cookbook and stuff, so it's like a huge focus point of the series. We probably could go more into that. I actually like that as an idea. And we could utilize some of the cookbook for that. They have some pretty clever real world adaptations of things from the game. And then also some of the stuff in game is just like sweet rolls. Those are not totally unheard of. Have you ever been to an in-person Elder Scrolls event? They often serve sweet rolls.
That's true. And sometimes they'll have like some special mixed drinks based on certain things or some other snacks that you can have. Yeah.
Without a doubt. Yeah. So I do like that. And again, there's a lot of variety to how stuff is prepared and what's kind of culturally relevant to each of the areas in terms of food and drink. So I think we could make something out of that going forward.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Thank you, Michael, for your call. That's fun. Yeah, we'll have to cover that on a future episode. We'll put it on our little list of possibilities. And next week we have our patron call. So if you'd like to join us for that and you aren't currently a patron, some of our higher tier patrons always get together once a month and they get to pick the topic. So that'll be coming up next week. And am I missing? Oh, if you want to leave us a voicemail, thank you to everybody who's done that so far. Voiceline.app/Elder Scrolls. There's a link in the description of the show. So if you don't know where to go, if you don't remember it, just pull up the show and look at the description. But again, voiceline.app/Elder Scrolls. And you can leave us a message. Please try to keep it under a minute like Michael did. And that makes it easier for us to showcase it at the end of the show. If you leave like a 10-minute thing, it's not going to be enough time. But thank you, everybody. All right, let's do the random page. Lotus, do you have a random page for us?
I sure do. And the random page is Talks Like Rain, who is an Argonian Tales of Tribute player and a member of the Roysters Club, who can be found in the various chapters.
Nice.
Talks Like Rain. Oh, this is super bizarre, but I mean, it's a random page. So this is what you're going to get from me when I do a random page.
This is what happens. It's a random page.
Talks Like Rain has 39,959 hit points. For somebody who plays cards, that seems like a comical amount of hit points.
Well, I mean, our characters play cards, and many of us have a lot of hit points because we spec out for that.
Sure, but that's like tank-level health.
Yeah.
And this person's like wearing a skirt.
Well, it's what you do on the weekends. I mean, you're not tanking all the time.
Sure, but, well, that's true, but my health would go down. I feel like Talks Like Rain would be a better tank than me.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe Talks Like Rain is like novice. Super buff, like right.
No, she's super chill. She's just hanging out in this photo. she's only a novice player. Like, it's not even like she's a high ranking.
Well, she's working out all the time. I mean, she's going to have a lot of time to play cards.
She's busy getting jacked as opposed to playing cards.
Yeah.
My mistake. It looks like her rank can modify based on your rank.
Oh, she gets better the more you play against her?
Yeah, what is this? All right, hold on, because I've never actually... I this character looks just as familiar as any other, but that I play Tales of Tribute against. Related quest, you can get it with your daily, doing, you know, the 1-3 tribute matches. Dialogue types. If her rank is proficient and your rank is below her rank, she says, your rank is still a tiny seed, Biko. Return to me when you become a tree, or when it becomes a tree. If her rank is expert and your rank is below her, hatchlings must learn to walk before they can swim, grow your rank, then return.
I didn't realize they changed.
I didn't either. This is actually kind of screwing with me. If her rank is novice and your rank is novice or higher, there is no moisture in waiting. Come and play. Gross.
Well, they are Argonians, right? They need, they need to live in a place with moisture or their skin gets all
don't weird. Like that.
Their scales flake off.
If her rank is proficient and your rank is proficient or higher, tribute, yes. I warn you, I have more tricks than a Wamasu has scales. Do you still want to face me? I'm not reading all of these, by the way. Yeah. You're getting one snippet. Yeah. She has like a zillion lines.
That's great. That's great. Part of why this is fun is it shows so much more is going on behind the scenes than you would assume.
I literally had no idea this was like a thing. Like, this is actually pretty fascinating. I wonder if this is like on all of these. If her rank is expert and your rank is expert or higher, Father Sithis tells us that victory and defeat are not so different. Even so, I mean to win. And that sounds like a veiled threat at the same time as asking me to play cards, but all right. I guess I'll allow it. Mm-hmm. But that's our random page. This NPC who I had no idea they have different... I need to like look into this now. But yeah, that's Talks Like Rain. She has more health than me as a tank. And plays cards.
There you go. Random page.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. We did it. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week with our patron episode. And until then... Well, I guess if you're not a Khajiit, you don't have to worry about the Dramathra thing, but also don't give in to the dance. I mean, maybe do give in. Maybe it's a good dance.
The song is so sweet. Just, you know what? Give in to the dance.
Just give in to the dance. Just dance.
It's fine.
Everybody needs to dance. All right. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
My foster parents didn't just teach me to fish. They taught me that persistence and patience pay off. They didn't just teach me to bake the perfect birthday cake. They also taught me to measure and meet my own potential. They didn't just teach me to garden. They taught me to plant seeds and watch them grow. And they didn't just teach me to walk. They taught me to stand on my own 2 feet. Foster a child and change their future. Visit youthvillages.org/foster.
Caesars Sportsbook is the only sportsbook app with Caesars rewards. That means, win or lose, every bet you place brings you closer to the type of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app using promo code RADIODYW. Place your first bet of $1 or more for a chance to double your winnings on your next 10 bets. Open to new users in Tennessee who are 21 or older. Max bet of $25 for doubled winnings. Max, additional winnings of $2,500 per bet. Profit boost tokens expire 14 days after receipt. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.